message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
I welcome you to God's presence this evening, and I pray that which God has in store for you tonight, you will not miss it in the name of Jesus. I congratulate you in advance because I know that tonight is your night. I say tonight is your night. If you are that person I'm praying for, let me hear you shout a loud amen. We have been on our series, which we started last week, Instructions for Destiny Decoration and Fulfillment. Instructions for Destiny Decoration and Fulfillment, and this is the part two of this series. We were made to understand last week that only fools despise wisdom. Proverbs 1 verse 7. It is only a fool that we reject wisdom. In fact, one of the major signs of foolishness is that a person despises wisdom. May you never display foolishness in your life in the name of Jesus. In Proverbs 4 verse 7, the Bible says, wisdom is the principal thing. And I said that if you go to a school, particularly a secondary school, you see that the principal is like the first person. Number one citizen there. And what the Bible is trying to tell us is that wisdom is the most important thing you need. It's a vital thing for you to be successful in life. And I pray for someone here tonight. God will release to you a new realm of wisdom that will amaze your world. God will release to you a new level of wisdom that will shock your neighbors and your friends. Everybody around you will be aghast at your level of wisdom. Can I hear your loudest amen? Can I hear your loudest amen? Bible says in Luke 21 verse 15, Luke 21, and I will give you a mouth and a wisdom which your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. I will give you the kind of wisdom that when men see you, they can't resist you. I will give you the kind of wisdom that when your family members see you, they can't but place you as the head and not the tail. When your office people see you, they will not be able to resist you. But they will not have no choice but to assist you. From today, nobody will be able to resist you again. Everybody that sees you, we assist you. Everybody that sees you, we assist you. We looked at four of the vital instructions that are very necessary for a person to succeed in life. We said number one is building a good godly character. And I talked about the life of Joseph, how Joseph was able to excel via godly and goodly character. And we went further from there to number two instruction that will bring about decoration and fulfillment in your life as praying without ceasing. Someone say praying without ceasing. And I said last week, I said, if you are not praying, you are playing. You have to be on one of the two sides. It is either you are praying or you are playing with your life. It is either you are praying or you are playing football with life. And you know what? Life has no second chance. After death is judgment. Yet what you are playing now, what is happening now, is not a rehearsal. This is the real life. There is no other life apart from this one. It is a life after life. In this life, there's no other life. This is the main life. There's no, okay, when I finish this one, I'll now start my real life. No, this is your life. So you need to pray. And you need to pray without ceasing. Number three that I said last week is to plan your life. He that ceases to plan has already planned to fail. A person that does not want to plan his life has already planned to fail. It takes plan for things to work out. It takes a plan for you to assess where God wants to get you to. Until you have a plan, God cannot back you up. That's why if you want to build a building, you will first have to go to the town planning to approve your plan before you commence the work. So planning is essential for you to build your life. Your life will not be in shambles. Your life will not be in shambles. I'd like to hear your louder amen. And number four, we spoke on extensively last week, is don't despise your little beginnings. If you are going to be successful in life and be fulfilled, you will start from the little beginnings. Your business from little beginnings. Your career from little beginnings. Maybe you started like me, working without salary. Just working. So there's who won't pay you. I said, don't worry, just let me be working. I don't think it's possible for anybody anywhere in the world to want to employ me now and say he will not pay me. So don't despise your little beginnings. That your husband that look as if he's a small boy today, if you don't despise him, he will become a big man tomorrow. If you don't despise him, if you don't look down on him as a son, he's a small boy, how much is he earning? Don't despise your little office today, the little place where you are doing business today. If you don't despise that little thing you are doing, God will put fertilizer there and enlarge it. Maybe you are just frying chin chin today as a business, and it looks so small and infinitesimal. The total capital of the business cannot even buy a phone, a good phone. If you don't despise that little beginning, it can spread and become big. And I'm speaking about the testimony that somebody will have here today. Very soon, that will be your testimony. From that small office, God will make you very big. From that little corner where you are operating from, God will change your story. If I were you, I would say louder, amen. And I'm here again today, by God's privilege, to give us more instructions that will help us to move. I want to say this before I go into the few keys that we'll be looking at tonight, is that only those who are ready for instructions can do well in life. You don't need anything to teach you how to crawl. Neither do you need anybody to teach you how to walk. A child crawls, a child just walks. You need a coach to show you how to run. But you need instructors to show you how to fly. If you don't want to continue to be on the ground, you must be a man or woman that loves instruction. That's why those that hate correction, they don't become great in life. Only those who are ready for instructions can fly. And that's why in the flying school, those who teach people how to fly are called instructors. They are more or less like professors. They don't call them professors. They call them chief instructor. If that chief instructor says, press this button, and you say, I don't feel like pressing the button, the person crashes. And I'm sent here by God's privilege as an instructor tonight to teach us essentials that will help us to fly in life. Number five instructions for the decoration and the fulfillment of a man's destiny is don't live your life in worry. Don't live in worry. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't live in worry. In Philippians chapter 4 verse 6, I'll be very fast tonight because I have so much to cover and I have just 30 minutes left. Philippians chapter 4 verse 6, the Bible says, be careful for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Can I have another version? Be careful for another version. Another version says, be anxious for nothing. It says, don't look at this. This is the nice version. God bless you. Don't worry about anything. That is, don't allow anything to worry you. But everything, that is everything that should have worried you, through prayer, someone say prayer, and petition, someone say petition, and thanksgiving, someone say thanksgiving, everything will be solved. In If you know how to pray, if you know how to go to before God in petition and give him thanksgiving, he said, no matter how difficult it is, it will turn into thanksgiving. And I pray for somebody here tonight, your situation will turn to thanksgiving. Your circumstance will turn into thanksgiving. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 33. Go back to your KJV. Thank you, Jesus. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or yet for your body, or what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for your raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe thee, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Or when will my admission come? Or when will my baby come? Or when will I build my house? Or when will I travel abroad? Or when will money come to my pocket? Take no thought for all that, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But, somebody say but. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Everything you need is meant to be just an addition. You don't need to worry. I don't have to worry. I don't need to be afraid. Joy comes in the morning. Trouble, they don't last long. For there's a friend in Jesus who will wipe your tears away. If your heart is broken, leave your heart. Oh, I know that I can make it. I know that I can stand no matter what. Make all my way.
My life is in your hands.
You are not permitted to worry. What you need to do instead is to seek God. To the foolish, it is a case of why pray when you can worry. To the wise, it is a case of why worry when I can pray. A foolish man will say, I don't need to. Let me just worry and worry and worry and cry and weep. Worry until the person gets lean. Worry until the person's body begins to vibrate. Worry until almost a bucket is full of crying tears. Tears that should have been used for worship is now used for worry. Tears that a person should have shed while worshiping God is now used to almost bleach clothes. There is no need to worry. I'm sent by God to you tonight. And I am so certain every seed of worry must be terminated in somebody's heart tonight. Every seed of worry must be terminated in somebody's heart tonight. Worry simply means you just don't believe in what God can do. You just don't believe that God is going to do it. Or if you believe, you don't need to worry. So maintain your joy at all times. Let your heart be connected to heaven, knowing fully well that the person you are dealing with can never fail. I know he answers prayers. I know he answers prayers. The God I serve answers prayers. Only Jesus answers prayers. Just believe that what you need to worry about, there's no need to worry. He has already answered you. And tonight, I'm speaking to someone here tonight. God has already answered you. I say, God has already answered you. Worry makes you tense up. And when you are tensed up, you are fenced out. When you worry too much, you are tense of everything about. That's why when you enter the vicinity of somebody who is always worrying, you feel tense. Is that what's happening here? What's happening here? Why is everywhere so dull? Why? The people are tensed up. Once they are tensed up, they are fenced out from fulfillment and from decoration. As from today, worry will never be found in your house again. Worry will not be found around you again. You know, I want you to weary out the devil. The devil wants you to worry, but you weary him out. Every time he comes and he sees you joyful, he's wondering, despite all I've tried to do to harm this lady, despite all I've done to this family, this family has refused to be sad. This family have refused. And he said, I know they come here again. I know they come here. This place, they know they worry here. I know they come here again. For me as a person, I don't like people that are always moody and sad around me. I don't like it at all because it is contagious. And as from today, all you are worrying about will turn for you as a testimony. All you are worrying about today shall become a testimony tomorrow. All you are worrying about today will turn for you as a testimony tomorrow in the name of Jesus. Can I hear you say a big amen? Worry makes you tense up, and when you are tensed up, you are fenced out. Yes. Number 6 instruction that will bring about destiny, decoration, and fulfillment is walk in love for God daily. Walk in love with God daily. In Deuteronomy 6 verse 5, Bible says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Every man or woman that walks in love is a man or woman whose destiny will be decorated. Every lover of God always enjoys everything that God has access to. My wife doesn't need to kneel down or prostrate on the floor to enjoy anything that I have. Anything I have, she can enjoy it freely. She can access it without any issues because of the love between us. It is the same thing with God. Once you love God, the next thing for you is for Him to decorate you. It's for Him to make you beautiful. It's for Him to make you look nice. God will not want to present you to the world and look shabby because you are an ambassador for Christ. You are His ambassador. You are the one representing Him here. That's why 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it come to the heart of man what God has prepared for them that love Him. That is, you cannot imagine the kind of blessings that God has for you with your love in His heart. It's unimaginable. That's why I know my future is alright. I just know. If I continue to love God, if I can continue to serve Him, if I can continue to do His will, my future is so secure. So secure. If you can continue to love God the way you are loving God, panting after Him. One of the things that I always look at in my life when I'm doing a personal appraisal every month is that do I love God this month more than I loved Him last month? Because it's very important that you appraise yourself. It's very important that we look at how much we love Him. Because this will determine the extent to which we can be beautified and decorated by Him. All God lovers are blessed people. Show me one person that loves God genuinely and you will not see the blessing of God on their life. I have not seen it. To love God means to pursue God. To love God means to depend on God. You can't love God and then they give you an option. You say, take this thing and lick it, and then you take it. Say, you see, come to one place. If you do some things, then they will be able to help you to get money, and you go there. Any money that God won't give to me, may I never get it. I don't need it. I don't any money that will give me fear or that will make me feel as if, oh God, I've offended God. I don't need it. It's not needful. And apart from that, the Bible says silver and gold is his. Everything you can think of, God owns it. I think that's Haggai chapter 2 verse 8. Silver and gold is his. He owns everything. God owns everything. And he's going to shower you with it. God is going to shower you with it. Everything you are trusting God for is coming today. To love God is to serve him. To love God is to serve him. When you love him, you serve him naturally. You serve him naturally. I've told you before in the past, I don't have hobby. My hobby is to serve God and serve people. That is my hobby. That is my hobby. To serve God and to serve mankind. In the course of last week, one of the days, God spoke to me. He said, you see why I'm always blessing you now. I said, God, what's that? He said, look at this. Today alone, it's not a service day. Neither is it a work day. Yet you have found a way to bless almost about 10 or 12 people in a day without having, there's no work, there's no service. You look for the way. Say, why would I bless you? When you love God, you love human beings. When you love God, he loves you. God is the only one that knows how to reciprocate the most. And as from today, everyone will see in your life that God loves you. I say everybody will see in your life that God loves you. Everybody will see in your life that God loves you. Your love for God always bats decoration. Your love for God always bats fulfillment in life. Number 7. Instruction that will bring about your decoration is love and invest in your family. Love and invest in your family. I want you to listen to this one very well. Your family is key to the fulfillment of your destiny. Your family is crucial to the fulfillment of your destiny. And your assignment is to love them tirelessly. Your assignment is to give to them, train them, love them, play with them, correct them, do all the things that are necessary to ensure that your family is on point. If you really want your destiny decorated and you want your life to enjoy fulfillment. As a wife, according to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 to 25, as a wife, as a husband, you have your duties. As a wife, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in every way. Stop at 24 for now. We'll come back to this. So as a wife, if you want to be fulfilled in life, and you have decided that you don't want to be a nun, okay, or what they call in Catholic, a sister, that is, you don't want to get married. If you have decided you are going to get married, then you have decided that you are going to be able to give a man fulfillment all his life. You have decided that you are going to ensure that this man is happy all his life. And the only thing that makes him a man happy is your submission. What makes your husband happy with you is that you are submissive to him. That's just it. A man terms submission as love. When you submit to a man, you say, she loves me very much. But when you are heady, you say, doesn't, and he will go outside and go and look for somebody else. Women that are here today, value your husband. Value your husband. Because if you don't value your husband, there are 1,000,001 people outside that are ready to exit you and take your place. So if you are going to have a decorated life and a fulfilled life, you have decided once you are married that that's part of your assignment. Now go to 25 as husband, because this must not be a one-sided coin. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself. You can see that giving is part of there. It's part of the word there. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Stop there. If you are a husband and you want your in fact, if you are not a husband that loves your wife and gives her what is necessary, there's no way you can have peace. I'm telling you. Apart from the fact that she won't give you peace, even God, heaven won't give you peace. That's why I always tell men when I have cause to counsel them on issues, if your wife is not happy with you, I'm telling you, things cannot work out for you. That's why you must do everything. I'm not saying your wife is perfect. She probably might not be perfect. But you decided that she's your wife and you slipped a ring in her hand, then you have to carry her along with her imperfections. If she's a witch, it means you're a wizard. Say, we always believe like behaving like a witch. So you are so daft. You saw a witch and you married a witch. Then continue the wizardry and the witchery. Your wife is your wife. It's very rare to see a woman that is well loved that will be behaving like a witch. It's a woman that you married and you promised her, I love you so much. Yet, after you married her, you brought in 3 more women. Or you have different other girls outside. And she knows the witchcraft that her grandmother buried, she'll be the one that they will give it to. Because she has a space for it. You provoke the witchcraft out of her. But when you love her, the witchcraft in her is suppressed for life. And the Holy Spirit is elogized for life. Love and invest in your family. Love your wife. Care for her. Let the attention of your wife matter a lot to you. Let the peace of mind of your wife matter a lot to you. You are here, your husband is not here, you can buy the CD. If you are not a stingy woman. There's a woman that is so stingy, they cannot even buy things that are profitable for their husband. They just wish he was here. You wish he was here, but he's not here, so buy the CD and bless him with it. Praise the Lord. I said praise the Lord. So love him, care for him. Also, don't neglect or ignore your parents. Proverbs 29:15. Don't neglect or ignore them. Also, don't neglect or ignore your children. Proverbs 19:26. Don't know what's happening to these people. I wanted to praise you before, but all of a sudden. Proverbs chapter, let's take 19:26 first. He that wasted his father and chased away his mother is his son. That is, if a person that sees his father saying, like anybody that treats his father and his mother like a trash, he said he's a son that causes shame. You will not be a son that causes shame. And he said the person bringeth reproach. You will never be like that in Jesus' name. Honor them. Respect them. Appreciate the grace of God upon their life. Love and invest in your family. Also your children, according to Proverbs 29 verse 15. A son that is left to himself bringeth his mother shame. The rod and the reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Don't abandon your children. Don't leave the house 4:30 a.m. or 5 a.m. in the morning and return back 11 at night without even seeing your children from Monday to Sunday. Yes, there might be some peculiarity of your work that makes you sometimes not to be able to see them every minute like somebody else who has more time. But you must create time. You know, you create time for what you love. Anything you love, you create time for it. So you must create time for these children to have some time with them, to have some time out with them, to have time to pray with them, to have time to teach them life and life lessons. My prayer for somebody here today is that God will help you. And in 1 Timothy 5 verse 8, the Bible says that we should ensure that we provide for our family. The Bible says he that does not provide for his family is worse than an infidel. So you must be ready to walk You must be ready to work. You must be ready to work to make sure that there's something on the table. School fees are paid and things are well done. Men have a lot of work to do. And every man that is here tonight, I say, God will give you more grace. I say, God will give you more grace. I say, God will give you more grace. Women also have their own work to do. And I pray that God will give you more grace. I can't spend too much time on these points tonight because of the limited time I have. And I still have some more points to go. Number 8 instruction that will bring about the declaration of your destiny is avoid anger. Somebody say, avoid anger. Anger is one word short of danger. If you put D in front of anger, you will get danger. That is, anger is equal more or less to danger. Anger always bats regrets. Anyone who goes to bed angry has a bedmate called the devil. When you go to bed angry, you are sleeping with the devil on the bed. That's why we always advise husband and wife, when you have a misunderstanding, settle your misunderstanding same day. This one that your wife faced Kafanchan, you faced Nasarawa, turning your face as no. When there are issues in the house or around you, settle your quarrels on time. Amongst friends, amongst neighbors, there are people that they are still angry with people for more than 20 years. You don't need to. You don't need to. You must have a forgiving heart. You must have a heart that lets go. I told you the story before. Some time ago, somebody offended me. And I felt very pained. I was still very little then. I can't tell you the story tonight because of time. I'll tell you some other time. Praise the Lord. I should tell you. Okay. We went to somebody's house for like a naming ceremony, like a relative of mine. You know, our family was not so okay that time. And you know, sometimes people whose families are not so okay, those are people that people cheat. Because if things were so okay that time, they can't try it. So we were in the house and I went out to quickly see somebody and a camera got lost. And then one of them now said she has a white garment person or somebody somewhere that said it must be one of the people that are there. And then she decided that it must be me that took it because I was like the youngest among them there. And the husband did not even hear his explanation and took me straight to the police station and locked me up inside cell. I think I was just about entering our secondary school or so. And I said, I did not. The police said, the man said they must beat me until I confess. So, and I said, I will die inside inside the cell and go to heaven. I will not tell, I did not do, I will not say I did it. The police were beating me mercilessly. Mercilessly. I say I did not say. Just say you did it. So that the money the man will give us can be okay. Inside said the lock wins. When I entered the cell, that was my first time of entry. The first and last. When I entered the cell, I met the babas there. Oh boy, fine boy. look at this boy. They started pushing me to each other. I sat down in one corner. I wasn't so uplifting in the spirit as like now. I was still very, very young. I was just crying. Later, they found the camera. But you know what? I've forgiven the person long time. I've forgiven him to the extent that he's an old man now. He's old now. I forgive him to the extent that I will not tell you some of the things I've given to him. He's my blood. He made a mistake. He's still alive today. He's my uncle. several things bought for him, several gifts, several blessings, several money. Forget it. You must learn to let go of the past. You must learn to let go of the past. In Ephesians 4 verse 26, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You can be angry, but your anger should not be something that will lead you into sin. That's what the Bible is saying. If you're angry with the devil, it's okay. If sickness wants to come and you're angry, it's okay. But for you to be angry to the extent that, do you know that if you want to get, if a monkey or a baboon is on a coconut tree and you want to get a coconut, all you need to do is to pick a stone and throw it at that monkey. It will take a coconut and throw it back at you. Then you get your coconut. That's exactly what happens with anger. With anger, you throw your blessings away. When you get angry anyhow, your blessings, you just pick them like this. You throw it away. You try to throw it at the person. That's why you must not just get angry anyhow. People don't get angry. People feel sick. They don't get angry with the devil. And say, he despised. God has already taken away my, Jesus has already taken away my sickness. Nonsense! What sickness? They will not get angry over that. He was bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and by his stripes I was healed. They will not be angry over trivial things. Trivial, small things. So anger makes us throw away our blessings. Quickly, why you should avoid anger? Why must you avoid anger? 8a, it shortens life. A lot of people get angry and their heart cut from there, high blood pressure from there. You didn't share! And then from there, number two, why you must avoid anger. 8b, it leads to sin. When you get angry excessively, you sin. Number three, 8c, why you should avoid anger. It leads to loss of friends, family, and associates. When you lose friends, you always lose friends, family, and associates. When you are a kind of person that you get angry all the time, people will avoid you like a plague. When people say, not enough as a fire of person that is revival, enough as an angry person. And then you lose friends, you lose everything. You lose friends, you lose acquaintance. I've told you the story of a lady before who, he and her husband built a very beautiful house, but the father was the one that gave them the land and they built a house on it. The father gave them as a wedding gift, big land, and they built a house on it. And one day they had a small misunderstanding and the lady said, you can leave this house. The person that owns the land owns the house. Since my father gave us this land, you can no longer, it's my house and it's my land. So that, you know, that's what the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. It was what was in her heart before that she has been thinking. So she said it, and you know what the man did? The man went inside and picked his slippers and his, maybe his toothbrush. He did not pick even clothes, and he walked out of that house. That was the last time he entered that house. He's an old man now too. And this one is not a story of, I know the person. He never entered the house. Neither did he have any contact with that lady ever again till now. Marry somebody else. In fact, those kids are grown now. Some of them are abroad. He never had, because once you are angry that you just say some things like a stupid person, at the end of the day, you mess yourself up. Number four, 8D. Why you must avoid anger. The person becomes a tool in the hands of the devil. I read the story of somebody last night, very late last night, of a woman, her husband gave her 800 naira for soup money. Hey! And she said, yay. You know, look at me. Is it 800 naira that your friends are giving their wives as soup money? And the husband said, give me back my 800. And she gave it back. And the husband said, I will give this 800 naira to my friend, to my girlfriend tomorrow morning. And the woman ran inside the kitchen and brought knife and choked him in his private parts. And the man died instantly. Anger turned that woman into an instant weapon in the hands of the devil. This one is not them. Say, it's a real life story. Say, I will give this money. If I give my girlfriends now, they will be happy. And she went inside in anger. Say, as if the devil was, as if they had injected her with something. And she picked the knife and struck his private part. And he bled to death instantly. Before they could get into it, he was already gone. Anger makes a person a tool in the hands of the wicked. Haven't you seen those who are angry and they took acid and they pour it on people's heads? People are angry and they took stone and they threw it like Goliath. And the thing entered into the person's eye and the eye went blind straight. Hey, human beings deal. That's why you must not make yourself a tool. There are some women, when they talk in anger, you must take cover. There are some men, when they are angry and they pick something, it must hit your head, say. They are holding them there. They tear the shirt off their own body. I must get... That person has become a tool in the hands of the devil. I need to move now. Or should I stop here? I should finish up. Okay, let's finish up fast. 8E. Why you should avoid anger. Anger throws your destiny away cheaply. When you get angry excessively, you throw your destiny away. You just throw your destiny away. A lady in a good relationship with a good guy. And all of a sudden, just a small misunderstanding. And then a lot of things are said. A lot of issues are... A lot of flaring up. You see, when you behave as if you are thinking of tomorrow. No, it is foolishness to behave as if now is the only time. When you conduct yourself with the thinking of tomorrow. And you know that everything you are saying is recorded in heaven and on earth. Anger throws away destiny of a man. I can go on and on this. But let me just take the final one for the night. Number nine, instruction that will bring about the blessing and the decoration of the life of a person is be a grateful person always. One of the major things that is in this end time is ingratitude. 2 Timothy 3 verse 1 and 2. Most people are no more grateful. Ingratitude has entered into this world finally. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 and 2. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. This is the major problem. This is not even devil that is problem now. Wife, collect money from your husband without saying thank you. It's not a good behavior that shows that you want to be decorated. Husband, you eat your wife's food, you lick the plate without even saying this soup is sweet. Ah, thank you, my dear. Ingratitude. Child, you receive a lot from your parent, or your parent gave you money or bought something for you. You just ate it all. Say, it's my right. If you are the woman, go out and see how many ladies of your age are still unmarried. I'm very sure you will have friends that are still unmarried. So you can't be ungrateful to him. I'm very, very sure as a husband, you will see men like you whose wives packed their load and left. Just, I know they stay here again. I said, I know they stay here again. How much you pay, sir? Oh, yeah, take it back. And she left. I'm sure as a child, you will know that there are many people that doesn't have parents, father or mother to care for them. Ingratitude is a killer. It's a destroyer. And I pray for somebody here tonight, God will give you more grace for this with the spirit of gratitude in Jesus' name. In Romans 1:21, the Bible speaking there about the essence of grace. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, They did not thank God for everything he's doing. It amazes me. It's my heart bleeds when I'm here and I'm seeing you. We are worshiping God and you just put your hand on chair like this. With all this brutal training. Just be looking. Just be looking around or be pressing phone. I see a lot from here, particularly on Sundays. A lot. It's a sign of unthankfulness. It's a sign that one is not grateful. Go back to that scripture quickly. I need to stop in the next few minutes. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not. They knew God, but they glorified him not. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. Their thought, they were so proud. How can I be giving myself stress? Can I be giving myself prayer? Wahala. They were vain in their imagination. May you not be vain in your imagination. And I know God keeps record of people that thank him. In Luke 17, 12 to 19, you can read it when you get home. The story of those guys that were healed. He saw those 10 lepers. Only one of them came back. Others did. And Jesus said, but isn't there 10 that were cleansed? Isn't it only one? May you be that one person that will be thankful in your family. May you be that one person in your family that is always grateful. Out of every 10, only one is thankful. Out of every 10, only one is thankful. That's why as a pastors, don't let your hearts be too after. Because most people are not grateful any longer. So don't be too after this one, that one, that one. God himself will send people that will bless you. And I pray that God will bless everyone here in the name of Jesus. As I begin to round up tonight, the world will be a better place if we always thank God. The world will be, if you know what others are going through, because many people, they'll be envying others. I can't thank God because I'm not like sister so. I'm not like sister. I read the story of a lady who went to a servant of God and said, sir, please pray for me. And she was looking all dressed. Her dressing was like 500,000 from head to toe. Solid gold, everything. She was looking so radiant. But her left leg had cancer. And the lady said, almost everybody that sees me, I say, hey, mommy, I wish I'm like you. And she will say in her heart, you never wish you'd be like me, because if you know my secret. If you know what others are going through, then you will not need to envy them. You know, makeup covers a lot of things. Nice haircut covers a lot of things. Suit covers a lot of things. So, no need to envy anybody. Where you are now, give God gratitude for it. Give God appreciation for it. Behind some smiling faces are some frowning issues. Behind some smiling faces, there are issues behind that they cannot tell you. That's why you must learn to be grateful. Everywhere you go, thank God. Every level he has placed you, thank God. You are not yet married, thank God. You just got married, no, you have not had children, thank God. When children come, thank God. When they are growing up, thank God. Every situation, you are in a rented apartment, thank God. You are in the house of your own, thank God. You have a job, thank God. You are still looking for a job, thank God. You have a relationship, thank God. You don't have one, thank God. There's money in your pocket, thank God. Your pocket is empty. Every situation deserves thanksgiving. My prayer is that everyone here will enjoy destiny, decoration, and fulfillment in Jesus' name. Rise up on your feet.
Thank you. Wow! I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. I appreciate you.